rockets are still somehow getting into Gaza. I mean, you're not denying, are you, that there have been up to possibly 2,000 rockets fired into it?
You're not saying that Israel is giving provisions to Gaza now, are you? Because what we're hearing is that it's cut electricity, it's cut water supplies, it's cut the internet, etc. So they were in a bad situation before this. Now it's just worse, and it's getting worse every day.
Oh, no. I mean, before this, there has been plenty. I mean, there is no humanitarian disaster in Gaza. There's electricity, there's water, there's food. If you look at the average Gazan, you do not see a humanitarian disaster. You might like to portray it like that, but you don't see it on the news. Now, you're seeing problems now, you're seeing bloodshed now, obviously, and that is the major problem. But you have to put the blame on Hamas. My colleague there laughingly suggested that Israel should have accepted the ceasefire 5 days ago. Israel did, in fact, accept the ceasefire. It was Hamas who rejected the ceasefire. And I know you've said, Homer, that they have attached demands to it. Now, there should have been a ceasefire accepted, and then those demands could have been discussed. If that ceasefire was accepted 5 days ago, hundreds of lives would have been saved. And you have to look at Hamas, who are trying to infiltrate into Israel, who have no care for their own people, who haven't built air raid shelters yes. for their own people.
Yeah, you know, that brings us to what happened earlier on, the earlier war perpetrated on the Gaza Strip by Israel. We had a ceasefire situation there. Hamas accepted it. Now it's saying we don't want that cycle of violence to continue, because if we do accept that ceasefire as they'd done before and then talk about conditions, etc., we're not going to see the problem resolved. It's not worked before and it's not going to work this time. But I'd like to put this question to Mr. Chandan. Now, Mr. Medet is saying the problem here is that rockets are being fired into Israel and that the Hamas does have rockets there. One question here is, does this mean that the Hamas group in Gaza should not possess any military equipment whatsoever, should not possess rockets, and it doesn't need them? Is that the view that Israel, or those who support Israel, are actually promoting?
Well, to quote FLN, Algeria, which still is there as a anti-Zionist and anti-imperialist state, to quote their heroes of their struggle, yes, the resistance rockets are brutal and they're terrifying. Well, that's fine. Give us your F-16s, give us your tanks, so-called Israel, and you can have the rockets, and you can have the AK-47s. What we have is a largely defenseless population who's been usurped historically, who've been boxed into a ghetto of nearly 2 million people on a tiny strip of land, 17 miles by 4 miles approximately. And these people haven't got the right to resist. Well, Putin suggested that Palestinians should have tanks and attack helicopters, just as the so-called state of Israel does, who has the most highly technological military on the planet, supplied by their senior colleagues in Washington and London and elsewhere in the West. So absolutely the Palestinians have a right to resist, and they should have more rockets, they should have better rockets, and they should have a resistance that can match conventionally the one of the biggest genocidal entities on the planet, which is the white colonial state of Israel. But to the ceasefire issue, like I said, the white colonial settler state of Israel could have easily ceased all hostilities if it really believed in the viability of the Egyptian ceasefire offer. It did not. It decided to continue to punish the Palestinians for its own sordid internal political machinations, and as a message to the entire global south, entire non-white humanity, particularly the people of the region, and especially the people of the Palestinian, that this is how lowly that life is respected amongst these occupied people. That is the message that's being put across. Mm. And I would not attack Hamas at all. I would respect Hamas yes. as part of the united resistance amongst the Palestinians yes. with the PFLP, DFLP, Fatah, Popular Resistance Committees and others. But I would say to Turkey and Qatar not to play around with the people, with the lives of the people of Palestine. And actually, actually, Turkey and Qatar are essentially members of NATO. And the danger that we're faced right now is that Turkey and Qatar want to replace Egypt as the brokers on Gaza, and that would be a terrible historic defeat for the Palestinian people.
But before I put the next question to Mr. Millett, I'd like to give our viewers a chance to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page. We'll take a look at them right now and we'll be back.
The numbers say that the Israelis are committing murder, not defending themselves as they would like the world to believe. This is so sad. It just shows that Hamas is fighting like real men, attacking only soldiers, while Israel is the quintessential eunuch that attacks mostly women, children, the old, and the disabled. Hamas fires rockets at civilians and hides behind civilians. They are sacrificing the Palestinians. Israel, keep defending yourselves. Hamas has short-range missiles, and Israel has chemical weapons. Palestine also has the right of self-defense. I am really sick of what Israel does, and I'm even more sick of Palestinian kids being killed to create the fictional Greater Israel.
A look at some of the comments posted on our Facebook page. I'll go right to Mr. Millett in London. Now, Ms. Millett, you know, I was reading reports, various opinions, etc., on the situation now, and what a lot of writers were apparently agreeing on was that the situation now has created a shift in the way that public opinion is seeing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, especially when it comes to Hamas, because up until now, Hamas was seen by those who support Israel, Israeli allies, as a terrorist organization. Now it's being seen as a resistance group defending the people of Gaza against relentless the relentless killings and airstrikes that are inflicting heavy losses on innocent children and women, as one viewer said, they're even the disabled. So they say that as the only force in Gaza that can defend the people, it certainly has a right to defend it. The Hamas is not the terrorist here. We should change now our focus.
I think a lot of people are now getting fed up with Hamas, including Gazans. There's been whispers now, which is much more improved than Gazans scared to actually say anything. There are whispers of Gazans getting fed up with what's happening. They don't feel that Hamas represents them. They haven't had a chance of voting in an election for 7 years. Hamas won an election, but that's it. They're never going to hold another election. There's no democracy in Gaza. The Egyptians are fed up with Hamas. They rejected the ceasefire, which Israel accepted. The Arab League even supported the ceasefire, and Hamas rejected the ceasefire. So I think Hamas is becoming an outcast, quite rightly, not only in the West, but also amongst many Arab states.
Well, Mr. Chandon, we're quickly running out of time. Despite the fact that Mr. Richard Millett there is saying that Hamas is being demonised, etc., we saw even today huge demonstrations taking place in the West Bank, and they were saying that we are behind the resistance fighters in Gaza, not just Hamas, but the Islamic Jihad and the other groups as well. Tell us your views about this.
Well, exactly. First of all, it's not up to the oppressors and the white settler colonialists to dictate and to interfere in the issues and the internal matters of the people that they're occupying. So they have no right whatsoever. Mr. White Supremacist, go back to your people and talk to them. We don't need to hear your words. Thank you very much. And as you said, sister, you're absolutely correct that Hamas is not the entire resistance. The entire resistance is very pluralistic, includes over half a dozen organizations, and they are all united. And look, like when the occupation forces do actually invade on the ground, these cowards who prefer to bomb from thousands of feet up in the sky, like their NATO friends, that once they're actually on the ground, they can be met man to man by our resistance, and they suffer dozens of soldiers who are injured and killed. That is the nature of the enemy that we're facing. But and Hassan Nasrallah made a very important point today. He said that Hezbollah is ready to go fight in Gaza. And that is actually kind of preempts and exposes Turkey and Qatar, who would put missiles on the border of Syria, ask NATO to bomb Libya and Syria and other countries and attack Lebanese Hezbollah. Well, why aren't they doing anything similar for the people of Gaza? This exposes their utter rank hypocrisy and their agenda. The people of Palestine have a right to resist. The people of Palestine have the right to unite with the people and the states of the region who are defending the entire region, allied with the BRICS and the general global south.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sukhan Chandan, filmmaker and political commentator there. A big thank you to our guest also in London, Mr. Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator. That is all the time we have for this edition of The Debate. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us.